This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, November 19th, 2023, the 24th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Who shall find a virtuous woman? Far and from the uttermost coast is the price of her. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Kind of interesting. Proverbs 31, very familiar Old Testament passage. On Mother's Day, for weddings, occasionally we're talking about the Blessed Virgin, that who shall find a virtuous woman? We say the readings are always connected one with another. So where's the connection between a virtuous woman and the talents parable? You understand it if you approach Scripture like you ought. And how we ought to approach Scripture is just not reading it. You approach Scripture by prayerfully reading, and then you meditate. You put yourself, you let your imagination take you into whatever portion of Scripture that you're reading. Let your imagination go. If it's a historical thing like the manger, you put yourself, how many different ways can you, in your imagination, am I up close to the Blessed Mother? Am I holding the infant Jesus? Am I sitting like far back watching the shepherds come to the man? That kind of stuff. That's called meditation. You meditate on that particular portion of Scripture. After you're done meditating, imagining what the position, then you get into contemplation. A lot of people make that a synonym. It's not. Meditation is not contemplation. Meditation is thinking about the passage, and then contemplation is how can this apply to me? If you don't use that, you can shut down on portions of Scripture, like Proverbs 31. If you're like a dude and you're sitting there, how do you find a virtuous woman? So, okay, I got my wife, or I'm a good list of things that I can look for, but it really doesn't apply to me. Oh, it indeed does apply to you. You just have to apply it to yourself. And you do that through contemplation. How does that apply to me? Even if that's the question, how does that apply to me? Think about it. How might it apply to you? Well, if you know Scripture, you should kind of have a heads up how it applies to you. I mean, even in a cursory sense. Our Lord, last week's parable, you know, the 10 maidens parable, you know, the 5 wise, the 5 foolish, you know, very familiar passage. If our Lord refers to himself repeatedly as the bridegroom, you start talking about bridegroom when you talk about, you know, everybody, that's Jesus. Well, yeah, why are we familiar with that? Because Jesus is constantly emphasizing that he is the bridegroom. So if St. Paul says that the church is the bride of Christ, then things should start kind of coalescing about this whole deal. This just isn't a list of characteristics of a good wife, although it is, but in a much more broad sense, it's characteristic of the bride of Christ. So it does indeed apply to any dude that reads it who might be a baptized Catholic, because there is neither male nor female in the body of Christ when it comes to salvation. We are all part of the bride of Christ that is the church. And consequently, what our Lord tells us through Proverbs is the characteristic. We need to start doing some soul searching and go, do I exhibit that particular characteristic as being a member of the Bride of Christ? It all of a sudden morphs into a passage about women to a passage about the church. When you integrate the two, we don't look at Scripture and segment it. This is for this and this for, it's like when you hear portions of Scripture about priests, deacons, and bishops. Well, I don't got to listen to this because I'm not a priest or deacon. Well, you hang around them, you're a Catholic, okay? So maybe you don't pattern your life after what is being said, but you should expect the deacons, priests, and bishops that you're around to act like it says. And you can kind of conflate, when have I been around deacons, priests, and bishops that didn't act like they should? Or when have I been around a really good one? This is that whole deal. Every portion of Scripture, every single word applies to each and every one of us in some way, shape, or form. This is the way we need to approach it. So we read these things from Proverbs 31. Hey, characteristics of a good wife. Yep, we're supposed to be a good wife to our Lord Jesus Christ. So what are the characteristics? Briefly, you just got a few verses from it today. Read the chapter, because every characteristic is really emphasized in Proverbs, and then more emphasized and applied to us by our Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. She supplies all the necessities of her spouse. That's why Jesus instituted a church. Okay, this is why we're a part of the bride of Christ. Why the whole me and my Jesus and me and the Scriptures and me and the Holy Spirit, it doesn't cut it, because no individual can fulfill all the necessities of our Lord Jesus Christ in this world. This is why we're part of the church, because we as the church can, if we apply ourselves, fulfill all the necessities of our Lord Jesus Christ in this world. That's what a good wife does. I mean, during this whole characteristic thing, yeah, what does it mean for a good woman? But then how does that apply to the church? Good women throughout history. I'm not talking about church. Let's get outside the church, because it makes a point when you can go to the world and go, hey, yeah, women fulfill the necessities of their husband. They provide for all their needs. I'm a history buff. Everybody gets that. You're around here more than a month. You know I'm a history buff. You read things like these guys from back in the day, Alexander the Great. Yeah, Alexander the Great. Augustus Caesar. Roman, the Holy Roman Emperor Charlemagne. All these big names. What was Charlemagne's wife's name? I don't know. Well, yeah, you don't know. But if you read history about, one of the things to emphasize, all those three that I just talked about, I picked them out because it history books speak of, we know them, we know their honor, they know where they were glorious individuals. But if you read history about it, everything that they wore was made by their wives or their sisters. Like, you don't even know their names, but part of the whole opulence of their office. You know, when they were in their big parades after a big victory or something like that, they're wearing something that was provided to them that glorified them, that showed them off to people, and it was made by their wives or their sisters. And so even in the temporal world, Augustus Caesar, pagan, a pagan ruler is provided for by his wife. How much more should we, as the bride of Christ, do everything that we can to supply all the necessities of our Lord Jesus Christ in this world? All those parameters, all those precepts that he gives us, all those commands that he gives us, do this and do that and everything. How much should we endeavor in our vocation, particularly as individuals, but then collectively as the church, provide for the necessity of our Lord? This is how this applies to each and every one of us. She demonstrates fortitude. She hath girded her loins with strength and hath strengthened her arm. In the older English versions of the Scriptures, it doesn't say, who shall find a virtuous woman? It says, who shall find a valiant woman? Well, I don't like those kind of warrior chick kind of things going on. You know, people go, oh, I don't like that. That doesn't have anything to do with valiance. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is fortitude. And it's given not to just men, all right? It's given across the board. I would actually say women probably bear more of a presentation of fortitude than a lot of men, particularly in our day and age. Anyway, a valiant woman, someone who exhibits fortitude. Any mom, any mother has to do what? Direct, guide when it's necessary, and it will be necessary if you're a good mom, to correct your children. It takes fortitude to do that. Because is it an easier thing to let your kids do whatever they want? Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, I'm not even going to go there. I don't want to hear the argument. That particularly gets into the whole teenager thing. You know, you don't want to hear, you know, it's like, I'm just let it go. No, you can't. You're a bad parent. You got to have the fortitude to correct. This is just moms. The church should do the same thing. She ain't doing it now. She's not guiding and directing. Oh, you know, whatever, you know, that's okay. You know, he's gracious and merciful. He does care. He does care. And you do have to guide. You do have to direct. And at times, occasionally, punish. That's what the church is called to do. The whole Matthew gospel about, you know, confront them. Confront them. If you don't get with them, confront them by the church, confront them with witnesses and all that. Yeah, there are occasions. It takes strength to do that. We need to exhibit that strength. We need to exhibit the fortitude. I don't have much. Pray for it. Pray for some more. That's fortitude. That's any gift of the Holy Spirit, any fruit of the Holy Spirit, the theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity. You have to ask for an increase of these things. You don't get baptized and you get them and that's enough. Most Catholics are like a couple weeks old when they're baptized. You don't want the graces that you have when you're 2 weeks old. You got a lot more going on now. You should be praying for an increase. Because our Lord says, you receive not because you ask not, or you ask wrongly. You should ask for fortitude. It's a characteristic of who we should be in this world as part of the bride of Christ. She provides for those outside. What a last verse there. She has delivered to the Canaanites. If you get into the whole Old Testament thing, you know anything with an ite at the end of it is usually a problem for Israel. They're always fighting the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Canaanites. They're always fighting the ites, okay, no matter what they are. It is that she provides for. Why is she providing for her enemies? That's what we're supposed to do as a church. It's a characteristic of a good bride. To not let others be in any kind of want when it comes to a danger to them. This woman, she's a Hebrew. She provides for the Canaanites. We are supposed, I mean, that's our Lord's command to us. Go therefore and make disciples. You know, it's really easy to sit around here and slap each other on the back and look at one another with our chapel veils on and all this stuff going on and go, yeah, isn't this cool? No. Yeah. We get it. We encourage one another to go out there and actually go at people who do not do those things and try to get them to do them. That's what making disciples is all about. Making followers of Christ. Oh, let the Holy Spirit do that. He does it through us. That's why he established the church. That's how God works. Very rarely do you ever see God just kind of wave his God wand and get what he wants, right? He goes through secondary causes. That's us. We are supposed to go out and talk to the Canaanite, so to speak. We don't just let them stay the way they are. We're supposed to go out and provide for them. Here in this characteristic woman, we're talking about material things. We are providing something much more important. We're providing their eternal salvation. I should say the Holy Spirit does it through us, that we have to be that vehicle. So these characteristics, we've got to live them. It even gets kind of sacramental. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her bread from afar. Notice that she is a merchant ship. She's like a merchant ship to bring in bread. This kind of resonates if you like pay attention to what our Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 6, he says, I am the bread which came down from heaven. There's not anywhere too much farther away from this place than heaven. So when our Lord says, I'm the bread that came down from heaven, and you equate this, she is like a merchant ship who provides. The church, you know, for her, again, it's material and it's a symbol. For us, it's a very practical thing. Holy Mother, the church, presents the bread that came down from heaven to her people to strengthen him, to them to fulfill all these other characteristics. Because every one of these characteristics is foundationally a matter of piety. It's a matter of piety. You know, very churchy term. Mostly piety. What's that? You know, we kind of get the concept. What is piety? Devotion. Piety is devotion. Not a subjective devotion. A devotion to God Almighty. A devotion to our spouse, Jesus Christ. This is piety. It is devotion. And this is what is to our merit. How well we do these things is going to be incumbent on how devoted we are to our Lord Jesus Christ. In the characteristics list, says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. The woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. It's really cool to get a really nice looking wife, but that's vain. It ain't going to be the same. You're married a long time. Love looking at wedding pictures. Oh, that was us 30 years ago. Doesn't look like you. It never looks like you. That stuff changes. So that's not a reason to marry somebody. It's vain. Like I said, is it a good thing? Yeah, not evil or anything like that, but, a little icing on the cake. But at the end of the day, it's the fear of the Lord. I like the way it's put. Favor is deceitful. How can you gain favor with people? Talk. You can talk about yourself. You can talk about this. You can talk about that. That gains favor from people. It says, favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. And this is kind of where we got to point fingers at ourselves as traditionally minded folks. Because there's a lot of people who kind of gravitate toward the traditional things because of the form, which is good, and it is an attraction, and it's not evil in and of that. But there has to be substance under the form. It's like if you find a pretty woman. I've known a whole lot that are really easy to look at, but kind of hard to be around for more than 5 minutes. Why is that? Because, she's got a good personality. That's what you want to go for. Okay, because that's generally not going to change all that much. The personality of our church, we have to, it's not a matter of just the looks. I mean, heck, particularly around here, because occasionally things happen like your church burns down, and everybody, oh, this is such a beautiful church. This is such a beautiful church. Oh, wow. it's a nice parish hall. We still do the same things, try as much as we can in here because, form is important. Try to make it look as nice, but if you're limited, that's fine. Your church burns down and then your organist gets the flu. Wow. Something else. Okay. Deal with it. It's kind of interesting how this whole happened. We're getting ready for next week is Christ the King, and then we have Advent. During Advent and Lent, you're not supposed to hear organs in the church. You're not supposed to be any instruments. Why? Because it gives it a different kind of a nuance. I gotta honestly say, we don't have an organist. Yeah, I'm sorry that anybody doesn't feel well, but I'm not all bent out of shape that there's no organ playing in here, because you know what? It sounds different, and it doesn't sound bad. It's different. If you're of the mindset, well, I'm not going back next week if they don't have an organist. I don't do social networking because of my personality. It's not good if I do social network. It's just bad enough that I hear about social networking. And I've heard tell that there are marks on social media. Well, we've been not going too much because it really doesn't feel like a church. Wow, that's why I'm not on social networking. It just screams, I have no concept of what the church is, and your faith is really superficial. So it really not bugging me that you're not hanging around. Live and learn. This is what we're talking about here. Beauty's a good thing. It's great. But at the end of the day, it's not the first and foremost. Because they get just like people get older and they change, you got a nice church, it burns down. It's fleeting. All that stuff is fleeting. The substance stays. The love of Christ and the fear of the Lord stays. That's what should be going on wherever you might be meeting, whether it's in a nice looking church or a parking lot. That's it. This is the characteristics. This is what we're taught here. This is where we get the foundation of these things. Because when we apply these things to the bride of Christ, we have a heads up on what's expected of us. And heck yeah, there are things expected of you. Flee. The next person stands in front of you and goes, I don't have to prove anything to God. Well, if you don't, you're probably going to hell. Wow, that was pretty bold. Well, honestly, if you look at it, every single judgment passage, I point this out all the time, you're judged on your works. Never once on your faith, ever. It doesn't happen ever once in Scripture. Throw that one out to your faith alone people. As always, we're judged on our works, the things that merit us, the gospel today. Why does God say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have been wise over a few things. I will make you master of many. Why does he do that? Because the person merited that. You gave me 5 talents. I brought you back 10. And then you get the dude who had one. I only had one, so I hid it because I want to make sure I didn't lose. You slothful and wicked servant. Cast him into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's hell. You don't merit things. You don't do what Jesus says. That's what you get. There are expectations of us as Catholics. A lot of them. In Proverbs, the heart of her husband trusted in her. Jesus Christ trusts you to do what he says. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. The little things like that. How can you call me Lord and not do what I say? Do what I say. Not believe what I say. Do what I say. The heart of her husband trusted in her. We want Jesus trusts us. We better come across. And what would happen in a relationship of two people when trust is always violated? I mean, we're frail, and trust can be shaken every now and then, but it can be restored. But if trust is constantly violated, there will be no relationship. There'll never be any trust, and it will probably go away. That's the same as our spiritual relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. She will render him good and not evil all her days, because if she does that, her husband will be honorable. We bring Jesus Christ honor in this world. The pagan doesn't see Jesus Christ. The pagan doesn't, they have no concept aside from they take Christmas off and Easter. Okay, that's their concept of Jesus. Hey, he hung on the cross. You know, they move on. They have no concept. It's up for us to present Jesus as he really is. It honors him when we do this. It's a characteristic of a good wife. The bride of Christ should honor her husband, make him honorable in this world. Does everybody do it? No. Speaking of this passage, St. Augustine said, heresies are the bad wives. People who don't believe in the faith. They may act like it. They may be in the church, but they don't believe things. This is like last week's parable, the 10 maidens. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. The wheat and the tares thing. Yeah, let them grow up together. Don't be pulling up the weeds. You might pull up some of the wheat too. We don't want that. Just let them go together. The Song of Solomon, this is like the book in the Bible that really emphasizes and pictures this whole wife-husband relationship between our Lord and the church. The wife says, I am the flower of the field and the lily of the valleys is the lily among thorns. You got to stand out. That's what our Lord trusts you to do. Trust being a good wife. Give her the fruits of her hands, her works, and let her works praise her in the gates. This is that whole well done, good and faithful servant thing. And it's based on works. Because I say so? No. Because the scriptures say so. Let her works praise her in the gates. Then say a word about her faith. She's going to have faith if she does the works. It's a no-brainer. It's proof. That's why James says, you show me faith without works, and I'll show you a dead faith. We should always be asking. Started this out with, you know, we should pray for this increase in the ability to serve him well, because he trusts us to do so. In the offertory today, the prayer over the offerings, the first petition, very first one. We offer unto thee, O Lord, this sacrifice to be increasing of our faithfulness in thy service. You know, how many times do we hear through the Mass, or even through the canon, the necessity of service to our Lord? So we're expected to be virtuous members of the bride of Christ, exhibiting these characteristics that he lays out, so that when we get to the gates, we will be praised because of our works. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.